chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. As I'm looking out, it's so good to see Charlie and Hetty Moore. We love you. And you're still part of our family. We claim you. And we probably always will. And it's good to see Ted and Sandy here. Brother Ted had a stroke not long ago, and pray for him as he undergoes some treatment for that and some therapy. And I'm just happy to see each and every one of you that's here in the house of the Lord today. And it's my earnest prayer and desire to be used of God to minister His Word to hearts. And this is why we come. It's to look into the Word of God and have God speak to our hearts. And I pray that we would receive it with all humility today. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, as we study Your Word this morning, I pray that You would open the eyes of our spiritual understanding, that we might behold wonderful things from out of Your Word. Lord, You alone know all the needs represented here. And I confess my total inadequacy to meet one single need. And so, Lord, I need You to do through me what I do not have the capacity to do. And Lord, I pray that You might be glorified in these moments. For we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, The New Man. The New Man. Recently, I took some of our men and we attended the Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to get reacquainted with people that I have known from years gone by. I saw a man that I went to grade school with, and I saw some others that I attended college with, saw some people that I had had friendships with in the past and had been disconnected from. And there was a fellow that I had known for a number of years, and he came up to me, and we hadn't seen one another, probably in about 15 or so years at least. And he said, "Man, Brother Mark, you haven't changed a bit." And he was right. I just thought I would say that. He was only saying that because it was true. No, the truth is, I changed a lot. He was being nice. He said, you haven't changed a bit. You know, I want to say something to you. God forbid that someone would become disconnected from us and 10 or 15 years later get reacquainted with us and say, you haven't changed a bit. Because I pray that in 15 years that I would walk more closely to the Savior. That I would be more conformed to the image of the Savior. That there would be something detectable in my life that would lead someone to think that here is a different man than what I once knew. I don't want to be the same preacher that I was 15 years ago. And although the truth never changes, may its reality in my life become ever more real. And may God hone the ability to clearly share its truth as I walk more closely with Him day by day. I pray that people that get to know us would see that God is recreating us in His own image. Yet I've discovered that there's a world of people that have prayed a prayer and they look to a time, sometime in their childhood, where they invited Jesus into their hearts. And yet really they're walking as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds and in the darkness of understanding, wandering around seemingly with no compass, no evidence that the Spirit of God is leading them onward. What a tragedy to think that somehow, because we may have phrased a rote prayer that someone prayed for us or formulated for us, and without any understanding of our lost condition and need of a Savior, to place our faith and trust in words and not in Jesus, and consequently to have no real enduring and effective change accomplished in the life. But the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And although I realize that this flesh is not sanctified and this flesh is not saved, and that the Bible tells us that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, we recognize that God is at work in us. His Spirit dwells within us, and this is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And over time, it should be obvious that this man is not the same man that I knew before Christ. He's not the same person. And would to God we wouldn't encounter friends years from now and they say, you're the same guy that I knew. Nothing's changed. I want God to continually work on me so that day by day others may see more clearly the image of Jesus Christ. There are some characteristics of that man who is in Christ as revealed in this passage of Scripture. And I want us to look at them this morning. There are seven things that will characterize the new man. And I'll move quickly through the list, but you'll see it clearly here. The Bible says in verse number 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. I want you to see the word henceforth. And I want this to be a jumping off place for us because that is a significant word. What it means is from this point forward, from this moment forward, henceforth, from now on, let there be a change. Sometimes we come into church and we come in and we have an experience and we go out and nothing's changed, nothing's different. It's same song, different day, same message, different day. And we just think, well, you know, that's the way it is. And we showed up and we went through the motions and we feel better because we went to church. But God wants to affect a change in each of us. And He wants us every time we come into the house to have a henceforth moment where we say, from this point forward, there are some things that will be different. Because if we never have henceforth moments with God, what will ever change? What will ever change? Sometimes I talk to people that are trying to quit certain vices in their life. Maybe it's drugs and others alcohol. Some trying to get over smoking and trying to quit smoking. And a lot of people I know that do those things, and I love them. That doesn't mean they're wicked in their hearts. It means that they fell prey to something that has enslaved them. And many of them with tears cry out to the Lord and say, I want to be delivered. But at some given point in time, there's going to be a henceforth moment in the life of the victor over that particular sin where you give that to the Lord and you say, from henceforth, things will be different by His grace. And I believe that God is calling someone here today to a henceforth moment to make an X on the floor where you're standing in church and say, from this point forward in my life, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm looking forth unto those things which are before, and I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let the baggage of the past serve as an anchor to keep you from henceforth living for Jesus. May today we be called to a henceforth moment and say, I want to be different. I want to be recreated in the image of Christ into a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And may we see that a new man in this passage of Scripture is characterized by, number one, a new direction. A new direction in his life. You see, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Do you know those that do not know the Lord as Savior are wandering about aimlessly with no direction in their life? Sometimes people come to me that profess to be saved, that would say the Holy Spirit of God lives within them, and they say, I just don't know what to do, preacher. No, the truth is, you do know what to do. God's given you the direction. That's not the problem. He's given you the light on the path. That's not the problem. The problem is you have not come to a henceforth moment where you've said, I'm going to decide to follow Jesus. I'm going to take a new direction in my life. I want to live as a new man. I want to never be the same again. From henceforth, I never want to be the same again. And so the world is wandering about aimlessly, and I'm often concerned that I see people who claim to be Christian who have trouble in their relationships, who have trouble in their homes. And what they do is they go to the unsaved, the unregenerate person who is in the vanity of their mind, wandering around in the darkness, alienated from God through the ignorance that is in them. And they're blind in their heart. And we go to people who are blind and wandering about aimlessly to say, which way should I go? Do you know you have made a grave error when you seek the counsel of an ungodly person? You say, but they're moral. If they do not know the Lord as Savior, they are alienated from God, and they will never see the pathway clear. They will never understand or discern the light that God sent into the world. You see, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. He was that true light that was sent to light every man that cometh into the world. But you see, they didn't discern it, and neither will the unsaved person. For you who claim to know Jesus as your Savior, for you who say, I want to follow Jesus, to try to chase after the counsel of the world is to say, I'm choosing to wander in darkness because I'm asking a blind man to give me directions. But when you say, I'm having a henceforth moment, I'm making this a day of decision, and from this point forward, there's going to be some things changing, and I'll never be the same again after this time, in God's Word, a day of decision. I will henceforth go a different direction. I'm going to go in the direction that the Holy Spirit of God leads me. You see, He said, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their minds, they think they know the best way to go. And there are a lot of people in the world today that know not the Lord that think they know the best way for you to go. But really, they are simply wanderers with no destination except hell. Would God today, some of us would say, I'm going to have a henceforth moment, and I'll never be the same after today. I'm going to have a new direction, not just going straight, pure, true north when Jesus calls me home, but I'm going to be led and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. He'll be the compass from within, and this will be the map that guides me. A new man will have a new direction, a new direction. As we read on, the Bible says in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Secondly, a new man will have a new desire, a new desire. In this portion, sometimes we read and we do not comprehend on first blush, but it says, who being past feeling. What does that mean? That they don't just feel like they want to go sin. They don't just feel like they want to go do things that are lascivious and wicked and sinful. They're past that stage. They've caved into the feelings. They're past feeling. And what have they done? It says, they've given themselves over unto it. So what happened? They said, I'm way past feeling like I want to do this. I'm giving myself to it. And once you give yourself to it, God will let you have your way. And then you know what? He'll let you be given over to it. If you'd like to know more about what it means to be given over to something, read Romans chapter 1. Those vain people that profess themselves to be wise and in so doing they became fools, God gave them up to their vile affections. God gave them up to their sin and they were given over to it. Why? They were way past feeling like they wanted to do it. They were way past fighting with the temptations. They just jumped in head first. And I'm going to tell you something. The Gentile world that knows not God, yea, anyone that knows not God has naturally the desire to go into sin and way past just feeling like you want to do it, but jumping in head first and giving themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know what that means? It's all about them. Do you know what a narcissist is? A self-centered, self-absorbed person that believes it's my life, it's all about me, I'll do what I please. That's narcissism. And that's exactly what people who are past the feeling stage become. Narcissists. I'm going to surrender to the struggle and I'm just going to embrace it I'm going to give myself over to it. I'm switching sides. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Folks, past feeling it is giving yourself over to it. And when you do, it just becomes all about what you want to do. Who cares what God's will is? I know what I want for me. But a new man in Christ will have new desires. He will not be surrendered, given over, if you would, to self and sin, but rather be surrendered to God and yielded as an instrument of righteousness unto God for righteousness' sake. His desire will be to follow after things that are righteous, not after things that are unrighteous. You notice, it's the desire. It's not necessarily always something that we do. I believe it was Lester Roloff that used to say that sometimes I preach a higher standard than even I can live, but God knows I want to. You see, I believe that God sees the desires in your heart. And I believe sometimes that we surrender our convictions and we go past feeling the struggle and we just jump in head first and it just becomes all about self. But a new man will have a new desire, and the Bible goes on and says in verse number 20, ye have not so learned Christ. Christian, you've not gotten that from this book. Christian, you've not been led to that by the Holy Spirit of God. Christian, you've not been taught that by the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got that idea out of the vanity of your own carnal mind and carnal thoughts. You've gotten that idea by giving yourself over to sin as an act of your will. You didn't get that from the Lord. And yet, the Bible says in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. And that word conversation means manner of life or way of living or lifestyle, if you would. That you put off the old way of living, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I want you to see that the new man will have a new dynamic. You say, what do you mean? I mean this, that when you are born again, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, regenerates you. He makes you alive. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God is that agent in salvation that makes you alive again. And He's the one that causes you to experience the new birth. For the Bible says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And I have news for you today. You and I, if we know the Lord as Savior, are a spirit that possesses a soul, that lives in a body, and that spirit is made alive at the moment of conversion, and there is now a new dynamic in my life. It is the new man who takes up residency in me. It is the very Spirit of Jesus Christ Himself. Himself that comes to live inside of me. So now no more am I governed by the old dynamic, the ways and the vain mind of the old man, but now I'm governed by the ways and the mind of the new man. That new man is Jesus Christ. And I must, by an act of my will, say, I'm choosing to adorn myself with Christ. I'm putting on the new man. I'm casting off the old man. Behold, all things are become new. I want others to day by day see a more vivid image of Christ in me. I don't want to be the same guy 15 years from now that I am today. I'm henceforth saying that after today, nothing will be the same again. I'm going forward for God. I have a new direction in my life. I now have new desires, and that is to serve the Lord with my life. And I'm going to do so by a new and living dynamic. And that dynamic is Christ in me. That comes at conversion. He said, if so be that ye have heard Him. Did you hear the calling and the voice of God when you took Him as Savior? And if so be that ye have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, I find that there are a good many people that claim to be saved and they call themselves Christians, but should they die today in an accident, they would split hell wide open. You can call yourself anything in the world you want to call yourself, but that doesn't make you that. You understand? You know, I could say I'm skinny, but that doesn't make me skinny. Right? Thanks, RC. I appreciate it. You know, I can say I'm a Christian, but saying it doesn't make me one. Right? You hear me say sometimes that, you know, that not everything that glitters is gold. There is no Santa Claus. The moon is not made out of green cheese. We ate the Easter bunny, and not everyone that says they're a Christian really is. Now you say, who do you think you are? Nobody. I'm a zero apart from Christ. That's me. Well, who are you to judge? I'm not judging you. It's up to you to determine in your own heart before God whether you're in the faith. But friend, can I say this to you? If you had no idea at the time you looked to as conversion what in the world you were doing, and you just parroted something that somebody told you to do because you thought it was the right thing to do, what did you do? Let me say that again. If you just parroted something that someone told you to say and do just because you thought it was the right thing to do at the time, what did you do? What did you do in your understanding? Because you'll not make clear choices in the darkness of your understanding. That's what the gainsaying lost world does. But what did you do? I will tell you what you did. You parroted some words because you thought that was the thing to do. Do you know what took place? Nothing. Nothing. W.A. Criswell pastored the great First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas for many, many years. For years, he was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention and fought the liberals in the convention and championed the cause of inerrancy, the inerrancy of the Word of God. He wrote many books and was widely broadcast around the world and was a stalwart of the faith. And in the book that I had to read when I was in college, written by him, titled Criswell's Guidebook for Pastors, he made the statement that if 25% of the members of First Baptist Church made it to heaven, he would be shocked. If 25% of the members of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, made it to heaven, he would be shocked. You know why? You can call yourself anything you want to. That doesn't mean that's what you are. I know some people say, well, I'm Jewish. I say, were you born in Israel? Well, no, but I just like to eat bagels. Well, that doesn't make you a Jew. Right? There are people like, I've taken communion. That doesn't make you a Christian. You say, well, I got baptized. Well, goody, I went swimming. That doesn't make me a Christian. You understand? In order to be a member of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, you know what you had to do? You had to make a profession of faith and be baptized in water by immersion. And he said, if 25% of the people that did that made it to heaven, he'd be shocked. Why? No evidence of a new dynamic in their life. Nothing's changed. No henceforth experience. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. That's Jesus, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, I want to just point something out to you at this juncture in the sermon. And that's this. So far, I have not named one single sin. Have you noticed that? I've not given you any regulations. I've not said, do this, don't do that. I've said, put on Christ. I haven't named a specific sin, have I? Have I tried to put anybody under a weight of guilt? Yes or no? No. I'm trying to challenge you by a look at the truth to, number one, make sure you're in the faith. And number two, to say, because I have this dynamic in me, Christ in me, I now have the capacity for victory that apart from Christ, I could never have had. And so now that I recognize that this powerful dynamic, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, an omnipotent Savior, dwells within me, I now have the capacity to put on the new man and put off the old man so that all things can become new. You know what? I want you to notice that the Lord didn't say, I want you to clean up your act. Because God doesn't want to clean up the old man. He wants to recreate a new man after His own image. He's not talking about self-reformation. He's not talking about just trying the best you can. No, He's saying, listen, I want to make you entirely new. I've had the privilege of working in inner city ministry, and it's been a blessing through the years. It's also been very difficult working with addicts and homeless people, those that are mentally ill, working with the indigent and transient, having feeding programs and homeless ministries and you name it, the list can go on and on. And I'm going to tell you something. I've seen people come in who were stumbling drunk one week, coming up through the alley, pushing their basket. And God get a hold of their hearts and lives, and they were changed, never to be the same again. I think about a man that came to Sunday school on a Sunday school bus to see his daughters get baptized. In fact, I think the Sunday he came to church, he had alcohol on his breath. He was a hopeless alcoholic. And his daughters got saved on the Sunday, riding the Sunday school bus to Sunday school. And so Jim and Deborah Fletcher got on the Sunday school bus with their daughters and rode to Sunday school with them so that they could witness their baptism. And on that day, the gospel was preached. And not only did their daughters come down the aisle to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, but here came Jim and Deborah Fletcher down that center aisle with tears streaming down their cheeks. And I'm going to tell you something. He was never the same again. And today, almost 17 years later, he's serving on the staff of that church, serving God day in and day out. His wife is serving on the staff of that church. Why? Because there was a metamorphosis that occurred in his life. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. And while he tried to quit drinking before, he never had the benefit of a living, breathing Jesus in him. And now he had a new dynamic that made all the difference in the world. And that day was a henceforth moment for him. And his life was never the same again. And he has children that are serving the Lord. And perhaps soon to be grandchildren. And praise the Lord that I know that God can affect a change in the life of anyone regardless of where you are and what you have done. A new man has a new direction and a new desire, a new dynamic. And in verse 25, the Bible says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. If we are members one of another, you have a new declaration." All of a sudden, what you're saying is true. You're not filled with guile and looking on the dark side and trying to shade the truth to make others think something positive about you. But you're just going to speak what is true, recognizing that we're members one of another, that we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and God has compacted us together, and He's forming us all into the image of Jesus Christ, and we have a determination to speak the truth in love, to tell the truth, to tell the truth. You know, before we come to Christ, you know what? We are the children of disobedience, the Bible says, walking after the counsel of the prince and the power of the air, who the Bible calls the father of lies. The father of lies becomes a way of life for people just not to tell the truth. But when you're a new man, what you declare is new. It rings true. Number five, a new man has a new discretion. For in verse 26 it says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Friends, can I ask you a question? Christian, can I ask you a question? Do you tend to get angry a lot? Do you tend to hold on to your anger? So how's that any different than the Gentiles in the vanity of their minds walking in darkness? How's it different? Do you tend to rage when you get mad? Do you tend to posture and use the silent treatment? Or do you yell and scream? Which is the preferred method of manipulation? I'm talking to somebody today that needs to have a henceforth moment, and somebody that maybe ought to walk down to the front and humble themselves and bend the knee and say, "God, You helping me, from henceforth, I will not scream and yell at my children again. God, You helping me. I'm turning loose of this angry spirit that I'm venting every time I get around my husband or my wife. God, You helping me. I'm going to have the discretion that can only come as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which the Bible calls temperance. From henceforth, I will not be an angry woman. I will not be an angry man. I'm clearing a spot right here. And from this moment forward, I will never be the same in that area of my life. It doesn't mean I won't lapse. It doesn't mean that my flesh won't war against me, because I have ingrained patterns in my flesh. But it is to say, I've made a decision that from henceforth, I'm not going to be just like the vain Gentile unsaved who vents and goes off and rains on everybody's parade every time they get a hair crossways or a burr under their saddle, a little bee in their bonnet, and they go off and scream and ruin the day and destroy the spirit of their family. From henceforth, I'll be a new man. From henceforth, I'll be a new woman. Some of you haven't had that moment. You know why? Because you're dealing with it every day. That doesn't mean you won't battle it every day, but you know, there ought to be some days where you walk in victory. There ought to be some days where you say, "Listen, I'm not going to give the devil a place in my life, and I'm going to turn loose of this angry spirit that's destroying your soul. And it makes people not like you very much too. Well, you know, if they would just do this. Well, how's all that screaming working for you? How's that working for you? How's the silent treatment working for you? Because the only thing worse than the screaming treatment is the silent treatment. You know why? That says, I'm indifferent to you. And indifference is the first cousin to contempt, which is hate. How's that working for you? Be angry and sin not. A new man will have a new discretion in his life. And then we read on, verse number 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A new man will have a new demonstration. Demonstration of what? You'll have a new value system and you'll have a new voice. You'll have new values and a new voice. What do you mean? I mean the things that you value will be eternal. You'll recognize that God gave us people to love and things to use. But when you start loving things, you'll start using people. And you'll say, henceforth, I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to love the people of God. I'm going to love things eternal. And I care not for things that will pass away. I care no longer for the things that really are temporal and fleeting. My values are now heavenly, not earthly. They're eternal, not temporal. And the fact that I'm a new man will be revealed by the fact that I have a new voice. And the people are unkind to me, whereas before I would be unkind back. Now I will speak to them graciously and in a manner that is kinder and nicer and gentler than what I think in my flesh they deserve. Because that is ministering grace to the hearer. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let me ask you a question. You might have the Spirit of God in you. You may be saved. You can. But while He's in you, you can be grieving Him. You can vex Him. You can quench Him. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's predetermined hurt to someone. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. A new man will have, lastly, a new disposition. A new disposition. You're not going to have an angry spirit. You're not going to have a hateful and a bitter spirit. You're not going to be filled with malice and guile. You're not going to be going off, holding on to bitterness and anger, which we know grieves the Spirit of God. But we're going to allow that new dynamic in me, Christ in me, to lead me to be kind. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. There's some mothers in here that ought to be gentle-handed and tenderhearted. And yet when your kids get boo-boos, they don't look for you. You know why? Because you have an angry spirit. Because you have an ugly disposition. God put it in the heart of a child to cry for mama. You know what? Some of your kids don't want to go to you. And it's not because they're wicked or evil. It's because you have embraced the spirit that grieves the Spirit of God. And why would they want to come to you? Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know what He did? He forgave you every sin. He looked beyond our fault, Brother Mike, and saw our need, and He forgave it. Let me ask you a question. What is it that someone has done to you that has caused you to say, I'll never forgive them for that? Old man. The new man has a new disposition. It's a forgiving spirit. From henceforth. This chapter was written to the church, people that profess faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul said to them in Ephesus, even though you know that you're saved, you've been taught of the Lord, from henceforth, never be the same again. From this moment forward, I'm calling you to never be the same again. Today, somebody needs to have a henceforth moment. Somebody needs to say, I'm giving up this lousy, stinking attitude. I'm giving up this lying tongue. I'm giving up this hateful, angry spirit. I'm giving up these fleshly desires. I never want to be the same again because I really don't like who I am very much. From henceforth, never the same. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would take Your word into our heart, and might we live like what we are, a new man, new woman. And may today be a henceforth moment for someone. They would say, I don't want to leave here today as the same person that walked in. From henceforth, I want to be that new person. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.